the Deal, a show dissecting every episode of Seinfeld in chronological order. With me today, as always, is Christopher Young.
Hi there.
Patrick Armstrong.
Hello.
And I'm Cameron Wong. This is episode 3, and today we will be looking at season 1, episode 3 of Seinfeld, The Robbery. And in this episode, Jerry leaves Elaine in charge of his apartment while he's away and comes back to find out that, due to Kramer, he has been robbed. George sees this as an opportunity for Jerry to move into a new apartment, and Elaine would like to claim Jerry's old apartment. And I believe we all watched the correct episode this week.
I think so.
Yeah, it's a big step for us.
Yeah, it's amazing. The organization is getting there. By season 9, we will have our first good show. So, how are you today?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing fairly well. You know, we moved the show recording a day back because I was tired, and today I'm rested. I'm drinking a Coke Zero, so I'm feeling good.
I'm rested too because I took a nice long nap before the show. It's 11:30 where I am almost.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Time zones. They're a wild trip.
They're a thing.
Exciting.
And Patrick, how do you find yourself today?
Oh, I'm good. I just had a bunch of gin.
that's amazing. I did consider putting some scotch in this Coke Zero, and then I forgot, so I guess I'm not.
Nice gin punch. I wish I had more, actually.
How about a nice Hawaiian punch?
That's good.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Good Kool-Aid flavor.
So should we jump into this episode here?
Yeah, sure.
At least, yeah.
All right, well, the opening joke. Pretty big improvement this week. I loved it. The joke about the finger? That was amazing.
Yeah, it was a pretty good monologue. I genuinely enjoyed it. I was really surprised at how good the monologue was compared to the check writing one from last week.
I'm actually for the idea of giving someone the toe, because it really does involve a lot of effort.
I feel like it'd also be quite dangerous driving. I don't know if you should really endorse that kind of behavior.
Well, it shows a reckless disregard for yourself and for others, and that's, I don't know, it's showing just how angry you really are.
So does ramming the person.
Well, that's just silly.
Yeah, Chris, you're talking crazy.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, and that's not really a great stand-up joke either. Like, the other day, the guy gave me a finger, so I rammed his car off the road and killed him.
I think it's actually pretty good.
He had 3 children.
Seinfeld, the dark years.
Oh, jeez. Well, you know, some people would argue that season 1 is the dark years, but this episode was legitimately, I think, a pretty good episode of Seinfeld.
It was really funny.
Yeah.
There's still things that I just am sort of baffled by in terms of my understanding of later seasons, or later Seinfeld, but there's still some really good stuff in this episode.
I was really happy that Jerry had a reasonable, like, kind of, like, tweed jacket on during the opening monologue.
I feel like if I just don't notice it, that it must have been okay, and this week, I didn't even bat an eye at it.
There was nothing spectacularly offensive about this jacket.
Yeah, it was just, like, something your dad would wear.
Or, like, hipsters today.
Sure. But he did have, as Chris pointed out before the show, he had an amoeba tie on, which I thought was an odd choice. Was it just, like, hard to wear a tie in the late 80s, early 90s that didn't have, like, a thing on it?
Maybe like, it was a thing. Maybe it was, like, with stand-up comedy at that time, it was still something you had to dress up funny. Like, there had to be a funny tie to denote that you were a funny man. Because you wouldn't wear that to the office.
Yeah, or maybe it was even just, like, someone at NBC was like, that's not what a comedian would wear. Put this tie on.
A funny tie.
Do you think he took it right off his own neck as he handed it to Jerry?
Yeah, look at this tie.
It is a tremendously ugly tie. I'm looking at it right now, actually. I'm not sure how that didn't catch my eye more. It is just a bunch of purple-celled amoebas.
Yeah.
That's weird. That's very strange. So... Jerry's apartment looks good in the opening sequence. It actually looks like an apartment someone lives in.
It does, although not to get too many clothes references, but is Jerry's shirt on backwards in this whole sequence?
I feel like that would be perhaps the greatest blooper of all time if that's the case.
It doesn't look like it fits right.
You know, it's because he was wearing a turtleneck, right? It's just...
Yeah, it's something.
I don't know how you
wearing,
have...
Is this the scene where he's wearing a mock turtleneck?
Yeah.
No, he's wearing a real turtleneck.
It's not a real turtleneck. It's like a mock turtleneck, and it looks like it's not only backwards, but inside out.
How is that a mock turtleneck?
Because there's no foldiness.
Yeah, a mock turtleneck is just a piece of fabric that you wear underneath of a shirt or like a sweater, so it makes it look like you're wearing a turtleneck underneath. This is a shirt with a turtleneck.
I don't think that's
what a mock turtleneck
that's
is.
That's not a mock turtleneck.
I think
a mock turtleneck is just where you have like an especially long collar, but it doesn't like fold back like a turtle's neck.
Yeah. I'm not convinced that that's true.
Well, it doesn't matter. In any case, it's a really ugly shirt.
And it's on inside out and backwards.
It could be. It definitely doesn't fit well. Like, it's very like curly and blobbity boo. But actually, you know, I thought Elaine's shirt, she could pull that off today. Like, it's really like patterned. And
I agreed. Yeah. Even the earrings.
Girls wear lots of patterns right now. So,
yeah.
Could be on a fashion blog.
Jerry, not so much.
No.
No one should ever wear a shirt. I'm still just reeling because I'm on the internet right now and what I thought was a mock turtleneck is just wrong. I've been wrong my whole life.
People like wanted to augment their shirts so it looked like a turtleneck. Well, like an ad.
Well, no, because like I had that thing when I was a child. My mom bought one for me.
Would you put it on under like a sweater or something so it looked like you had a turtleneck under your sweatshirt?
Well, for being honest, I never put it on. It was put on to me. I never wanted to wear it. It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen, and I just assumed that that's what this is. So, I mean, this just looks like a short neck.
What you're talking about is a dickie.
I've never heard of a dickie before.
Google dickie, and
I'm not going to Google that.
Cameron will.
I mean, I've already typed it in here, and if something comes up I don't like, I'm going to be very upset with you.
It's not.
Yeah, it's just coming up with a brand.
Scroll down to images.
Oh yeah, there it is.
Thank you.
There it is. It's just part of a shirt. Well, I am not happy about this. Fortunately, safe search is set to moderate, so that was the only thing that came up. But
well, I first learned what a dickie was in Christmas Vacation. It's what Cousin Eddie's wearing, and he's got the black dickie on underneath the white shirt. It's a good look. I can't believe your mom bought you one of those. I've never heard of anybody actually having one of those.
She thought it was very fashionable. So on Seinfeld, it is interesting to note that I found that in the first scene, even though it is not Elaine's nature all the time, that she doesn't seem to hate George at all in this opening scene.
No, she seems kind of chummy with him.
Yeah.
Kind of likes him.
He's still a realtor. How long does that last?
He gets fired later.
Well, he tries to poison his boss.
Right.
But that
I keep thinking he's too competent. Like, everything about George just makes him seem like too competent, too normal a person. Like, he's the one where reality is grounded.
But, you know, maybe that's kind of good. Like, maybe it's good that the show starts out with George being, like, competent and whatever. And then, you know, he gradually becomes a complete loser, you know, like living with his parents.
Yeah.
Although,
like a tragic arc.
Mm.
I don't want to jump ahead and we'll talk about it, but I would argue that in this episode, there are a few seeds of future George. Of the George that we kind of know and love, the kind of neurotic, the unhappy.
I agree. I hear that. Yeah.
And in this opening scene, you know, it's not relevant to the show at all, really, but I believe it's Elaine describes moving from Iceland to Finland as a big upwards move. Is that true? Because I feel like those two countries are always showing up on, like, top places to live or something lists.
Also, it seems like a lateral move.
Yeah, I think she just meant, like, Iceland sounds cold than Finland.
Isn't that, like, I'm thinking of Greenland. Never mind.
I don't know. Like, Greenland, but you got the joke, though, right? It was an okay joke. It doesn't have to make complete sense. Like, you don't have to compare their economies.
That's the thing. I had no idea, and I was just wondering if maybe at this time, you know, like, Iceland and Finland were hot topics of conversation in world news or something.
I don't remember. I was 4.
You weren't following the news then?
Not the Finland news.
It's embarrassing.
Or Finnish news.
Yeah, I thought the opening scene was okay, but I actually really liked the following scene. Because I really like, yeah, well, with the cop, that part's okay. But when Kramer comes in and he has the shirt on that a built-in vest and is did you guys see that?
It's called a mock vest.
It looks kind of like a bowling shirt or something, but it has a vest built into it.
Yeah, it's it doesn't really, and there's a zipper there too. Just looking at it now, that's interesting. Yeah, it's a good look for Kramer. It's the kind of thing that only Kramer would wear.
Yeah, well, Kramer or George's dad.
What I just found astounding about this scene and this whole episode is how nice Jerry is about all these things. He doesn't seem to, he's not at all concerned that he got robbed. He's barely even mad at Kramer. And then later, he's just like, you take the apartment. Jerry's the most generous person ever in this episode.
Maybe. I don't know. When Kramer comes in and he's explaining about the door, he invested in the super lock. He does the first in my notes I wrote the first Jerry scream. He says, yeah. The door must be closed.
Yeah.
And slams the door.
He seemed more angry when, Kramer ruined his car by putting food in the engine. I feel like this is comparable.
Well, you know how Jerry feels about cars, though.
True.
The one thing that I thought was kind of odd about this episode and about the second scene is that Jerry goes away and there's no story. It's Jerry is the story. And so he's leaving at the end of the first scene and then he's back from his trip at the beginning of the second scene. It's right. So short. And it's just the other characters at this point, apparently nothing matters at all. Because in later seasons, there'd be a story there. They'd be doing something while he was gone, or they'd at least show the hint or something that the apartment's going to get robbed or whatever. But it's just Jerry's gone, Jerry's back.
And he's been robbed. I noticed a few things about the robbery itself. Not only did they take his little Porsche toy, they took the television. They did not take the remote.
No time.
This is some amateur thieves.
Yeah, actually, at first, I thought all they took was the TV. I'm like, man, these are bad thieves. But then, there is that list of various things that he took, but pretty funny.
How do you rob a place like that? Do you make several trips? Do the people in the apartment building just think you're moving out?
I feel it must be in the middle of the night. Oh, what? No, it wasn't in the middle of the night because Elaine was out or something.
And... Well, she was waiting for the shower to heat up at Bloomingdale's, right. So it must have been during the day.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't understand how you'd rob a place like that, and people wouldn't be like, "You are not the people that live. You're not Jerry, and yet you're taking his television."
But I guess if on your floor, if you only have maybe 10 apartments at most, not everyone is always going in and out. Then you just go to the elevator, you go out the lobby.
Yeah, because once you're in the lobby, you're home free.
Yeah, it's true.
Even in the elevator. I really like how messed up everything was when Jerry gets there and Elaine's running around with a plunger. Yeah. I thought that was a really funny image. Because it looked like she had no idea what she was doing. And I think she's even barefoot.
There's no explanation for why she has the plunger either. She just comes out of the bathroom and she's got that plunger in her hands. And then she kind of takes it over to the sink.
The robbers clogged the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
but
their
she
signature.
She never puts it down. She just keeps holding it throughout this scene. Jerry's going to come at her and she's got to beat him away with the plunger or something.
Now she's actually starts cleaning. Yeah, I don't know what she's cleaning with the plunger in the sink as opposed to just, yeah, it makes no sense.
She does go to the sink, right?
Yes, she does.
Yeah, and she's originally in the bathroom with the door closed, so I don't know if she just needed privacy when she got the plunger, and then all of a sudden she's plunging the sink in the kitchen, I guess.
She clogged the toilet. Everything
went wrong. Jerry left for a second, his house got robbed, the sink and the toilet are backed up. It's pandemonium.
They took his telescope, too.
Did you notice that Elaine, and this is going to be a theme, and I'm just going to make an effort to look it up, but there is a reference to Ethel Merman. Like, they make references to the most, what I feel are obscure people on this show sometimes.
Were they obscure in 1989?
I think so.
Like the reference. I feel like the references are, like, references their parents would have made.
Yeah.
Because, like Ethel Merman, like, she was, like, 1950s or 60s when she was really famous, right?
Yeah, well, I looked it up. She was born in 1908.
Yeah.
All right, so at this point in this show, she may actually have... She was already dead when they were referring to her. Because she died in 84.
Yeah, and who was it in the previous episode that that her parents thought that was really beautiful? Like, that Jerry shouldn't wait for someone, like... What's her face?
Oh, right, yeah.
I don't have it in my note.
I'm not sure, but it did happen. But apparently, see, I learned something. Ethel Merman was called the undisputed first lady of the American musical comedy stage.
Oh, that's nice.
So was she like someone's like straight man, maybe?
I really have no idea. But, you know, she did Anything Goes. The Lovely. No Business Like Show Business. And I think she's the one who made that song famous.
Oh, well then, I've heard of that, so very topical.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Also, I gotta say, I love George's, his I Dream of Jeannie little impersonation.
Yeah, it was good.
There's a reference that I get, and the look that he gives Jerry after he does it is perfect.
Yeah, it's funny. I think that Jason Alexander at the start of the show is probably the strongest actor.
I agree. I'd say that's probably true throughout the entire series, though.
His apartment's really nice at this point, I find. Like, it cleaned up pretty well in between the second and third episode. The third episode, going forward, they just start filling it with things from the appropriate time periods. This is more or less the apartment as we're going to know it. You know, couches change, the things in the apartment kind of change around, but I think the layout and the fullness of the apartment seems to be about right at this point.
I like when he gets the 25th century, the 20th century Mac, or 20th anniversary Mac, rather. That's exciting. Yeah.
I have to say, though, that one of the biggest changes, like watching this episode, like, you're right, the apartment, like, I feel comfortable in it, watching it, like, it doesn't feel like a bizarre world of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
But Kramer is still so strange, like, he isn't just, like, kind of, like, a weird guy with, like, weird preferences and, like, gets confused and has like different values. He's just insane. Like, every time he walks in and he talks, like, he is a crazy person. Like, he's not just like their kind of eccentric friend. Like, he's not a friend. He's just a guy who's crazy and won't leave.
He's unstable.
Alone.
Yeah.
And he's still not leaving the apartment is the other thing.
And I'm jumping ahead, but later, like, he says he's going out, he's gonna like investigate the English guy and he's gonna go over and borrow some tea from him, which is like the most insane thing. Like, is it just because English people like tea and he's sure he'll have it? It's very strange.
See, I had a thought, a little conspiracy theory. What if George robbed Jerry? Because, you know, Jerry gets down there. Now it's the incentive to move. Elaine now wants to move into this place just by robbing Jerry. Because George is a realtor, he can set this whole thing up and get two commissions off this whole thing. That's incentive right there. That's motive.
Also crazy.
That's future George right there. That's a future George plan.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, this George, he was already making money. He was successful.
That's true. Yeah. Just can't get over that. I can't get my head around that.
Well, speaking of which, what did you think of Jerry's potential apartment?
I think that Elaine doesn't know what a walk-in closet is.
Yes, it did just look like a hallway closet that a person fits in.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, she was really trying to like sell Jerry on the apartment. Like, she really wanted him to buy did.
It's true, but
I thought Jerry's attitude about the whole apartment, like how he kept talking about like the wood guy and whether he needs to tip the wood guy, was really great.
I thought the apartment was nice, though. Like,
yeah, it was cool.
I couldn't tell. Like, they kept on saying, oh, it's got a garden. Was it a ground floor apartment, or was there, like AstroTurf on the balcony?
It looked like real grass.
Yeah. I feel like it must have been ground floor.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe,
I think so.
But maybe it was, like, a patio with grass. Like, maybe it's super fancy.
Well, yeah, that's fancy.
That's comedian money.
But, you know, what struck me as very odd about this scene is they talk about it several times about all the bedrooms. Jerry makes his decision to take the apartment. He doesn't leave the living room. He just goes in there, does a circle, asks about the wooden coal man, and is like, you know what? I'll take it.
Yeah.
It was such a measured decision.
I really noticed how bad everyone's jackets were in the scene. Like, they all had really baggy, like, bag person jackets, like Elaine in particular. And, like, George's jacket, I don't even understand what's going on with it. And he has, like, the sleeves pushed up, which I think is to make him look like a cool 80s businessman. But
he was a cool 80s businessman.
Yeah, I guess so.
I kind of actually liked the way George looked with his jacket like that. What I thought was, if you look in the scenes, there's definitely some inconsistencies, though, because his sleeves roll up and down during the scene a couple times.
Yeah, no, George looks like a bum in this whole scene. Like, those pants are borderline sweatpants. He's wearing running shoes. Like that, he looks like, does not look like a realtor person. The fact that he's holding that folder does not... it for me.
I mean, he is just there selling a friend, though, right? You know, it's not full on business.
So it's professional capacity, and he looks terrible.
I was scrolling back and forth in the scene and watched George's sleeves go back and up and down like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, it's it dives up and down there, and I don't know if he's just like quickly rolling them back up, like that's impressing someone in the scene. It's like, you know, I was gonna take it, George, but your sleeves too low.
But yeah, I'm looking at the like a screenshot of the scene, and like there are trees and stuff and bushes. That's definitely
It must be ground level. Yeah,
pretty fancy.
I guess. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to live in a ground level place.
But it must be in like a fancy part of Manhattan or something. There's like a courtyard like that.
But don't they say later that like it looks down on the park, or does it say close to the park? Right.
Yeah.
It's like a block away or something.
Man, Elaine really does a good job of bargaining this couch down.
Oh, wait. Are we moving to the next scene?
Sorry. Sure. I guess.
No, that's fine. I'd like to do our first unsponsor before we move on to the next scene.
Oh, sure.
Squarespace?
No, actually, today's episode is not brought to you by the good people at Hover, hover.com.
They do good work.
They do amazing work. You can just go on there, and any domain you want, you just type it in. You type in part of the name. You have an idea. You have a full name you want. Just type it in a simple search, hit enter, and see what it suggests. And they got it all. They got the .ca, which we may or may not use. They got the .tv, which the show that they actually sponsor. They're big fans of that.
I like the .tv.
Yeah.
I like the .co.
The .co. I actually really like the .co. I didn't realize that it was going to be as much fun as I thought it would be, but... You know what? I've come around. It's a fun domain extension, and they've got it. You can register them there if you want it. Take it. If you don't think it's fun, try another one. .biz. That could be catching on any day now. You could be the one. Yeah. You want it? Take it. And you know, show the people at hover.com that you may or may not listen to the show that we stole this advertisement from. Use the Dan sent me code. And get 10% off your ads. Or your ads. Get 10% off your domain registrations. Use it over and over again. They might get money from it. Who knows? We don't know. It's not our sponsor, but could be great.
Yeah, and I use Namecheap anyway.
Oof.
And you know what I like about Hover is that, you know, they don't spam you. They don't do what those other registrars do. I'm not going to say who they are. You know who they are. But they don't send you emails. They'll auto-renew. That's all. Great.
Well, I'm glad that 2 out of 3 of us are plugging hover.com, and the other one uses namecheap.com, who may or may not sponsor the show next week. So no thanks to the people at hover.com for sponsoring this week's show.
Oh, wait, you know what's really great about hover.com? The domain valet. If you want to transfer your domain, that's really good.
That is
take care of the whole thing.
That's a great point. And you know what? When we register the domain for this show, I'm using hover.com for that. So there we go.
It's the only way to go.
All right. So we were
talking. It's a freebie.
Oh, good grief. All right. So speaking of good deals, the couch. Elaine did get a good price for it, Chris, as you were saying.
Yeah.
And what'd she start, Jerry, at?
$20?
Yeah, well, Jerry asked for $150, and that was her first counter offer. It was $20 American dollars.
I mean, adjust for inflation. Let's say that's $60 today.
So she got him down to $40?
$50.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I feel like Jerry was so disdainful of the whole situation, though, that once it started, he just wanted it to be over.
Yeah, I guess, Jerry's ambivalence towards moving, and then being excited about the apartment, and then ambivalence towards wanting to keep the apartment, and then wanting to win the Rock. Like, I mean, it just keeps on going back and forth on what he actually wanted. It's just very confusing.
Yeah. I don't know, like, maybe it's because later George wanted it, and then because George also wanted it, he wanted it more, like, it seemed more valuable. Like, otherwise, he's just, like, he's not losing anything if he doesn't move before, but later when George wants it, he could lose it to George, and then he's still in his crappy apartment.
So in this scene where, you know, George expresses that he would also like the apartment, and they do these various little games or whatever, who doesn't catch a coin flip? Because I'm thinking everybody's catching a coin flip.
Oh, no, I've seen that a lot before where they let it drop. Yeah, I am with you that you catch that thing and also you turn it over onto your arm. But some people, this is like it's a New York thing, let's say.
It's like waiting online.
Patrick, do you catch the coin flip?
Yeah, I always catch it.
Do you flip it after?
Yeah, I catch it and smack it on the back of my hand.
It's the simplest way of doing it.
Yeah, maybe actually Chris is... I feel like Chris is making this up, but maybe it is a New York thing. And
I was like definitely making that up.
How people in New York say they like wait online instead of waiting in line.
Oh. But I mean, that is definitely, I don't know if this is a New York thing, but it is the other sort of style of doing it, which is to let it drop and hit the floor.
That's anarchy, though. That's absolute anarchy.
That's terrible.
You're lucky if you can even find the coin after you're done.
It's terrible. Yeah. Although, I gotta say, that was an intense round of rock, paper, scissors.
They don't play rock, paper, scissors.
That's why.
Don't they choose for it?
Yeah, they play choosies.
Oh, I didn't know what that was. I thought that was just RPS with, you know, theatrics.
No, choosies. I love it, but most people don't know how to play it. You see, you that's why they have evens and odds,
literally.
Right? And so you pick either evens or odds, and then when you say, you know, 1, 2, 3, choose, or whatever they say on the show, you put your hand out and you just have a number on your hand and you add the two together. And if it's even, then the person who picked evens gets a point. And, you know, it's best 2 out of 3 or first to three or whatever.
That sounds way too complicated.
No, it's not. You pick a number and it's either even or odd and you win or lose depending on whether it's even or odd.
I would pick paper every time.
You would certainly lose every time in that case. But this is the scene. This is the scene I was talking about where I think we do see the seeds of that future sort of miserable George, because not only is he clearly willing to push Jerry into feeling bad enough to at least consider giving up the apartment, but I love when he loses and he goes to the bathroom and he's just like yelling in the bathroom about why did he throw the wrong number. Like, it was perfect.
It was perfect. Good.
And, you know, also in the scene, like, hinting at George's like future character, he does his first George snort.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
The snort is a classic George signature, and I wonder if that was on purpose. Or if I wonder if he actually just kind of in the moment improvised which I you know, I guess it would be intentional, but I wonder if it was his own decision, you know?
You mean you wonder if Jason Alexander in real life does that snort?
Yeah, well, I wondered if it was something that was noted to him or something that was in the script, or if it was something that Jason Alexander thought, you know, during scenes, like, I should just kind of, like, do my George snort thing at this or do a snort at it.
I feel like it probably wasn't in the script. Like, I can't imagine writing George laughs and snorts a bit in the script. Like, I feel like it was either, like, Jason Alexander made it up or someone on the set was like, wait, let's do that scene again. Try to laugh a little dorkier. And then Jason Alexander does the snort.
See, what I like about this choosies thing is that Jason Alexander takes his jacket off. Like, for a second, it looks like they're going to fight, like, do fisticuffs.
I think that makes sense, though. I kind of like the idea. Honestly, if I was playing, like, an intense game of rock, paper, scissors, I would want to just throw my jacket off.
Yeah, and if it was for a new apartment, you wouldn't take that seriously.
Cameron does take rock, paper, scissors very seriously.
Well, Cameron takes everything seriously.
I was going to say, yeah, anything competitive, Cameron will win.
Well, I mean,
like this podcast. Cameron's winning this podcast right now.
I wouldn't say I necessarily win, but I think normally I'm the one that wants to win the most.
Absolutely.
That's the whole fun of competing, is winning. That's my argument.
Good parents.
Isn't that the Olympic motto?
That's right. That actually is the Olympic motto. Everybody else, go home. They discuss another random name in here. Robert Wagner. Did you guys...
I know who Robert Wagner is.
Oh, no, this is in the next scene. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. But when he brought up Robert Wagner, I had no idea who he was. And he was another, like, oh, I look. George says he looks in the mirror at Monk's. And Hello, they're at Monk's.
Yeah, that's true. It's the first actual Monk's. Yeah, it's not Pete's.
No, it's we're in the actual diner now. But they're in there, and George says he looks like Robert Wagner, and I looked it up, and... he was in Austin Powers.
Yeah.
He was on 2 and a Half Men.
These are the more recent ones. Wasn't he also in, like, The Pink Panther? That's where I remember him from.
The Pink Panther? I don't think so. And, yep, Pink Panther. Well, don't I look like a fool?
I've seen that movie many times.
He looks so much like Steve Martin. I got confused.
I think he also had a small role on Sugarfoot.
Oh, man, I love Sugarfoot. Maybe they'll sponsor next week's show.
He's also in Seinfeld.
Oh, really?
When is Seinfeld? Like, he's in the, he's the, and if this weren't my son's wedding, I'd punch your teeth in, you rabid anti-dentite.
Oh, yeah, that's with the, that's the Yada Yada Lady episode, right?
Is that the same episode?
Oh, right.
I'm pretty sure that's the same one.
I found George's big, like, cable knit sweater in this scene really distracting. Not only because that is an expensive kind of sweater, but I see those so seldom, except, like, in people going on a holiday to the Hamptons or something, that I just, like, couldn't stop looking at it. Like, look at all the folds. Like, if you look at it, it, like, hangs off his sleeves and it's swooshing around as he's, like, acting and moving his hands around.
It's like he saw the, like, a Tommy Hilfiger ad, and I was like, that could be me. No, he couldn't.
Like, it almost looks like he's covered in foam.
Like the end of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Speaking of the clothing in that scene, though, Jerry's not looking a lot better. I mean, this whole episode is just, it's Seinfeld fashion. But Jerry's wearing this, like, green... sweatery sort of thing that's so baggy, it's pulled up to his elbows, there's this big floppy pocket on it, it's ugly, it's bad.
It's just not a big fan of seafoam anyway.
Yeah, so do you think that was Jerry, like, that was him looking successful, or he was frustrated about the apartment situation and this is, like, it was his bad clothes, like Elaine in the purple sweatshirt with under.
Oh, I don't know. Diner clothes. I just know that scene ends so awkwardly with this, like, meek waitress. That I don't think we ever see her. Do we ever see her again?
No.
We see her in the next scene.
Yeah, but as far as the series goes, she's a one-time waitress, I'm pretty sure.
What's the rent? Like, it's just a very odd way. And then he just ends.
Yeah. But the next scene was pretty good, actually, where they're all, everyone is angry, and they're arguing about the apartment, and then, like, everyone's gloating. And then, did you guys notice that the neighbor looks like Catwoman? Like, her outfit?
What?
I wouldn't say Catwoman, but it's very cat-like.
She's got these, like, long black, like, harem pant type things, and this black shirt with like a big gold necklace thing. It's very weird. It reminds me of Catwoman.
When we get the website up, we'll put a picture up here. Maybe we'll put it in our show notes afterwards, because I'm gonna tell you this right now. I don't know if Patrick's seen Batman before, but this is this is a woman with
Catwoman.
It's a woman with a gray turtleneck. Not even a mock turtleneck, with baggy black pants and black shoes.
To be perfectly honest, she does look like she kind of has Catwoman's getup going on.
Yeah, like, it's not Catwoman like in
not,
her
not
costume.
Modern Catwoman.
When she's off, you know, when she's not working.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, she did steal that gold necklace, but still. That's pretty Catwoman-esque. And it looks like old-school Catwoman, like when Batman's got a gray suit or something.
It does. Type in Catwoman 1960 into Google and look at the pictures there and tell me if that... She's wearing it's a one-piece suit. I mean, the gold necklace, I guess.
Well, not Catwoman when she's on the job. You know, Catwoman when she's at a neighbor's party.
That's right.
Well, you know what? I guess we could say it's reminiscent, but I'm not fully on board with this.
I won't settle for that.
Oh, all see, right. I've got some awful deviant... Oh, God, that's terrible. I have an awful deviant art photo of Catwoman that's kind of along the lines. I'm officially siding with Patrick on this.
Did you guys also notice that after George and Jerry ogled her, Elaine looked at her boobs?
What?
Yeah, she, like, looks down at... She, like... checks out her own boobs to, like, compare them to Catwoman.
Are you
did
sure?
Not notice that.
She absolutely does.
When she sits down on the couch?
Yeah, she sits down, and then...
She definitely does.
She looks down at her boobs. I thought it was quite amazing. Like, I was really surprised.
I guess as a total aside, but when they first sat down on the couch at the beginning of the scene, there's a remote control right in the middle, and for some reason... I thought that it was an iPhone on the table, and it took me a second to remember that, of course, it was definitely not a cell phone in any way or form. I guess it could have been a Samsung Galaxy S2, haha. But it definitely blew my mind, and it's got a topic. It's brought up a topic for me that will be in other business. So this is a little teaser to stay tuned.
Okay.
Well, I thought the end of this episode was pretty, like, probably the weak point of the episode. Like, it was just waiting for them to say, what's the rent? And then it was over.
Yeah, it seemed just, like, way too bad sitcom-y.
Yeah, I like it. I think it was the very first callback in Seinfeld, so that's something, but it was a poor joke.
It wasn't very strong. I'm not going to lie. Like, on my notes specifically, I have... That canned line at the ending was poor. It was definitely not that great, and I'm going to agree with you. That's definitely probably the low point of the episode as a whole.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I would say that this episode is probably the strongest episode of this entire season.
I would agree with that, even that I accidentally watched that other episode, Male Unbonding, previously. This episode's definitely better than that one.
Yeah, Male Unbonding is pretty bad. The stock tip is pretty funny, the last episode of the first season. But I'd say the robbery probably as a whole is the funniest. But episode 5, so don't listen next week. Wait for the week after.
Hover's not going to non-sponsor us next week.
Yeah. Do we have any other notes on this week's episode that we're dying to get into?
No, I just thought it was good.
Yeah,
I didn't like how it ends with the stills of Jerry, but other than that, it was good.
Yeah, I suspected that was just the, like, Oh, actually, maybe they didn't do this. Like, you know how sometimes in TV shows they like show a preview of what the next thing is, or like a clip of the news? That they just had something, like they didn't have a real credit reel for that episode, and they just had to put something together.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. Yeah. Well, it's, I guess it's possible.
Certainly.
All right then. Well, seeing as how we're petering out on the robbery, let's move in to other business.
Okay.
And I think I can say without a doubt that this will be the last week that the first item of other business is Pluwats. Right here on the show notes, I have written Pluwats, the final follow-up. Chris, did you eat a Pluwat?
You know I did.
Tell us about
I
it.
I certainly did. Well, more than anything, I was mesmerized by the exterior of the Pluwat, or Plumcot, if you will. I sent you guys that photo. It's quite something.
It's pretty beautiful looking. It's kind of majestic.
Yeah, it made me think that it could be like the next background for the next release of OS X. it was very interesting looking. And then when I started to eat it, I made sure it was like perfectly ripe.
And how do you tell a ripe Pluwat?
You feel it up a little.
And is that just based on nothing? Is that just...
That's right. That's right. It's based on my experience with other fruit. It's like when Dr. McCoy has to do an operation on a new alien. He just kind of wings it based on, you know, humans and Spock. But once I actually did bite into it, A, it was delicious, and B, it was a plum.
Wait, I've so had... it was actually a plum, or it just tasted so similar to a plum that it was indistinguishable?
I mean, I've had many plums before, and that was one of them. I don't know what, like, genetic trickery they did to do that cosmic exterior to the plum cot, but inside, it's all plum.
Well, I think what they do to make a plum is they crossbreed a plum with a plum. And then you have a plum.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't notice any sort of variation in texture. Certainly on the outside, there's a different sort of texture. But taste-wise, and the fruit itself, very plum-like.
Wait, have you eaten an apricot before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you recommend to somebody else to eat a Pluwat?
Yes, I would. Because they are cool to look at, and it's a good story. And
would you recommend looking at one? Would you say go to the grocery store and look at a Pluwat, or would you say you should buy this?
I would say go buy some Pluwats and then, you know, give one to your friend and have a conversation about how it's actually a plum and an apricot, and then you can talk about it for a little bit, and then at the end you get to eat a plum.
Yeah, like I said, try something new. New fruit. It's fun.
Yeah. Mm.
Do it.
Good time all
That's
around.
Great.
Why not?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if we should...
Plum pots for all.
I do have another piece of other business here, but I'm concerned about our background noise that's going on here.
A little bit concerned myself.
Because it just sounds like you're in a furnace or you're in something.
You're not burning to death, are you, Patrick?
Yeah. That better?
Oh, wow. It just got a lot better.
Yeah, it's great.
What the hell did you just do?
I put it on the bed.
It's so clear right now. It's the clearest it's been ever.
All right, there we go.
You're like right here with us.
Yeah, keep it on the bed. That's what I always say. That old saw.
We should just do the show over again.
All right, so next up in other business, I have on the iPhone. So Seinfeld, because of the time of its run, it really doesn't enter into cell phone etiquette, which I feel like would probably be a major point. Obviously, in the pseudo last episode, the one on Curb Your Enthusiasm, they talk about the iPhone a little bit. But I saw this news story today after thinking there was an iPhone on the bed, and I just want to know what you think the Seinfeld characters would do 36% of adults feel it's okay to snoop through a lover's phone. And my first thought was that every single person on Seinfeld would do this.
Absolutely.
I think definitely every single character in Seinfeld would root through someone else's phone.
Absolutely.
No question.
Kramer was the one I was thinking too, that maybe Kramer would be the person that, you know, Jerry's there by the table. He's got, you know, his girlfriend at that week's phone. And Kramer's like, what do you think you're doing? You know, this is the person's most sacred place.
Yeah, I can see that.
I feel like Kramer would protest at first, and then he would do it too.
This would be a great, for some reason I feel like this would be something, an episode, this would be a storyline in an episode of Seinfeld at some point in the future.
I can definitely see it being an episode today, like if Seinfeld came back and, wow, there's technology. I can imagine there'd be a lot of episodes that sort of focused on technology. Like Seinfeld meets 24.
Well, that sounds like the worst idea you've had in a while.
But you know what I mean? Like everything on 24, back when I watched 24, it was all like, what can we do with our cell phone this week? I imagine there would be all sorts of opportunities for them to exploit technology and use technology to hurt each other if Seinfeld were around today.
I can't get over your idea of crossing Seinfeld with 24 because there's a cell phone. All of a sudden, like, Jerry's breaking an Islamist terrorist neck or something.
Honestly, the closest I can imagine this happening is on 24, there's just an episode of Seinfeld on in the background. That's the closest I can mesh those two things.
That was unintended pay dirt right there. Idea of the century. All right, well, do you guys have any other business?
No, that's good.
I think so.
I think this is it. I think we're done.
Good.
That was a good show today. Felt good. Yeah.
Felt really good.
Felt good as we were doing it. I mean, on the re-listen, who knows? But right now, I'm saying A+.
I feel good. I feel good right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Patrick, I mean, you may have solved the problem late in the game, but you have solved that problem.
Oh, God, I sound good. Feels nice.
Sounds great.
I don't know. You do. You sound fantastic.
You sound like these
golden pipes.
All right. Well, thank you for listening and enjoying, hopefully, another episode of What's the Deal. Next week, we will be looking at the episode Male Unbonding, which, of note, is the only episode in the entirety of Seinfeld where the episode does not start with the word "the" at the beginning of the episode name. There's a little something for you. Someone's laughing back there. Someone's loving the show already.
That's the studio audience.
Also of note in this episode, it's the first episode that actually featured Elaine when they were filming them. Obviously, Elaine was, they changed the episode run order, but something to think about when we watch it next week, that this episode was originally the introduction of the Elaine character to the Seinfeld universe. So thank you very much, and we hope you'll join us again next week. So from Christopher Young,
you,
Patrick Armstrong,
yeah,
and myself, Cameron Wong, thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
Well, thank you, Hover.
Yes, Hover, you're doing great things.
Yeah. Thank you.